If you have your Bibles, let's open up to 1 Peter chapter 3. And you can look on the back of your bulletin and you can follow the outline that is posted there. And I would encourage you to do that and to take notes. Before we get started, let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you first and foremost, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And I do. And I hope all of us surrender all to you, Lord. And we are so happy to be in the family of God. And Lord, as we open up your word, I pray that you would open up our hearts, that you would open up our minds, and that you would teach us the way that you want us to live. And Lord, not just in the world around us, but in our marriages and our families and with one another. And Lord, as we go through this passage, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, it's an important topic and it affects all of us. And Lord, I feel so inadequate in many ways to even come to you in this sermon or to speak in your behalf. And so I just pray that you just help me through this, Lord. Help all of us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I speak about marriage, I think about it. I've been married 23 years to my beautiful wife, Sharon. And we were kids when we got married. Some of you think we're still kids. But I think about all the ups and downs in marriage. And, you know, I'm a selfish person. I'm not going to lie. And for a lot of my marriage, I was very selfish. Person and the way that I, just how I evaluate myself. And so I always, when I come to passages of marriage, I always struggle through them because I think about how unqualified I am to speak on behalf of it. That's how I feel personally. And I bet any of you who have been married or thinking about married or been around marriage, any of you would not want to stand up here and talk about marriage. Would you? No. Woody's like, no way. And he's been married longer than anyone in this room. So, that's right. Yeah, you got it. That's what we pay you for. Take the bullets. Once again, I'm going to walk the minefield of a marriage passage. I don't know if God is trying to teach me something, but in the three books we have worked through since I've been here, this topic has come up three times. And it seems that it always surrounds itself with the word submission, which is like a double negative in our culture for the men and for the women. And then when you have wives submit, it starts that way. It never goes good. Never. So you're going to have to bear with me through this. And God bless my wife. She's showed so much grace and patience. And if you know my wife, the things she's had to put up with. Today is Father's Day, and I'm going to read seven verses this morning, and six of those verses are going to deal with women, and the last verse with men. Just so you know, right up front. So I know right now the men are thinking, yeah, that's right. That's the way it should be. Right? Feeling very comfortable with yourselves. And that's all right. Because yours is going to get hit in the end. Just remember that. Since it's Father's Day, usually I know it's a time that, you know, my growing up in church, it always seems like it's time to beat up men about their roles. And it's not going to be really different this morning, but it's going to be a little different. And their responsibilities, and we like to quote stats. But this morning we're going to be a little bit different. Because we've been working on looking at a life lived submittedly to Christ. And I want us to look through that lens. Living a life submitted, this is the fifth sermon in this series, and we'll finish it up next week. But we've been looking at what it's like to live submitted in the world and in culture, and we have spent 2 weeks on Jesus and his example of submission. Christ and who we are in him is the key to understanding this passage or any of these passages in relationships. And because that is the goal that Peter has when he was writing this, is the goal to make Christ known. This is the whole goal of Peter's writing this letter, is to make Christ known, to encourage the believers, and that their goal is to make Christ known in all that they do, and the way that they live their lives, the way they live with one another, in the workplace, in the way that we live civilly with each other. It's always with the goal in mind with Christ, to make Christ known. And it's no different in the marriage. The purpose of the marriage is to make Christ known. It is in the way that we interact with each other. Everything we do as Christians has this goal in mind. And it is also God's goal to glorify Christ. The Father sent the Son to take away the sins of the world, the perfect sacrifice, without defect or blemish, to die for our sins. The Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and points people to Christ. The Holy Spirit will glorify the Son. It tells us that in John 16. Everything will be given to the Son, and everything will be put under his feet, and he will give it to the Father at the end. All for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets and at different times in different ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. That comes out of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We know that we are in the last days and everything goes through the Son. Everything exists and is for the making much of Christ. Everything is about sharing the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. So we have to start with Christ. We have to start with Christ. We know that looking at 1 Peter, if you have your finger there, you can look at 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. And just to kind of sum up the way things look here, Christ suffered, leaving us an example that we are to follow in his steps. He did not commit sin. He came as the perfect servant. He bore our sins in his body, and we, so having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. Because Christ submitted himself, we who are once lost have been found, and he has become our shepherd and the guardian of our souls. That's what Peter tells us in those verses. And the thought that always gets me when I read these verses is that Peter was a witness. He witnessed Christ. He was an eyewitness to Jesus, and he lived a life submitted to Christ. And we are to do the same. In every aspect of our lives, we are to be submitted to the glory of Christ, to make Christ known. Remember earlier, Peter says up in verse 12, chapter 2, conduct yourself honorably amongst the Gentiles. So as Christians, as while you're out and about, so that the case where they speak against you as those who want it, who what is evil, they will do by observing your good works, glorify God on the day of visitation. So in the way that we live our lives, we are to glorify God. For it is God's will, because remember, he's going to use you to silence in the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. By the way that you conduct your life, those people are foolish and ignorant, and it's not in a bad sense, but it's just they don't know Christ. They don't know anything about him. They're going to use your life in the way that you conduct yourself to enlighten those people so that they can see Christ. They can witness him. They can see him in your life. And it will silence the foolishness talk and the way of thinking, and enlightening those who are ignorant of God and his ways. Just think about it in those ways, in that way. So with all that in mind, let's look at this morning's passage. So if you're ready, it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. In the same way, wives, submit yourself. And remember, in the same way, we're talking about Christ. Submit yourself to your own husbands, so that even If some disobey the Christian message, they may be won over without a message by the way their wives live when they observe your pure and reverent lives. Your beauty should not consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles or the wearing of gold ornaments or fine clothing or clothes. Instead, it should consist of what is inside the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very valuable in God's eyes. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also beautified themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you have become her children when you do what is good and are not frightened by anything alarming. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with the understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. In the opening verse, Peter uses in the same way. He has Christ in mind and how we are all to be subjected to the government authorities, masters, and now he uses the term husbands. This is a willing submission. It is not a forced submission. The wife willingly submits to her husband and leadership in marriage. Looking at this passage, Peter is also looking for the opportunity to have Christ made known by the actions of a believing wife to an unbelieving husband. I have known many wives through the years who have been married to a husband who is not a believer. And Peter is telling you that the way that you live with your husbands matter. The wife is first submitted to Christ and then to her husband. She is to live a pure and reverent life, not giving into the worldly cultural ways that would demean her or to make her ashamed, but she is to live a life worthy of her calling, doing nothing that would bring shame to Christ. Her beauty is not to come from the way that she dresses, but from within. And this passage isn't saying that you can't dress up, because I know some of you do. You like to dress up. But it's not that's what it's about. What is important, what truly matters, is what is in your heart. What truly matters is what is in your heart. Remember, the world judges the outside. God judges our hearts. The most important things to God are the things of the heart. Your beauty should come from the heart. Instead, it should consist of what is inside the heart with the imperishable qualities of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very valuable in God's eyes. What matters to God is what's inside your heart. Some of the most beautiful women I know are beautiful because of their hearts. Just think about some of the women in your life that you have known and how they can light up a room with just their presence. Yet you would not hold them as worldly beautiful, but they are beautiful in a whole nother way. In fact, they impact our lives very positively. I can think of so many women that fit this category, that they are beautiful by the way that they live and conduct their lives. They enrich us by just their presence. And if you're one of those, God bless you. We need more of them. I totally lost my place. I got stuck on that because I think about some of our precious ladies. Wives are to live with a gentle and quiet spirit that others can see, and especially your unbelieving husband. The text is saying what matters is the way that you say and the way that you do life matters. We are to speak to build up one another, to encourage and strengthen and not tear down one another. We are to speak, and how we act towards each other is important. I've been married 23 years, and I have been around married couples all my life. Like most of you, if you haven't been married, you will be married someday, or you've been married, or you know someone married, you've been around married people your whole life. It impacts all of us. Every one of us in this room is impacted by people who are married or going to be married or have been married. Said that already. But you know what I'm talking about. You've all been impacted. And there is nothing more embarrassing to me than to see one spouse dominate over another. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I know you've seen it. It's embarrassing to be around because you feel uncomfortable. It's humiliating and degrading, and I've seen it both ways. Seen it both ways. It's not the way that we are to live as married couples in Christ. Peter gives an example of Sarah, which I think is very interesting. Sarah respected her husband, and that's what it is meant by when she says, called him Lord. It would be the same way as calling someone sir or ma'am. And then he adds this line, you have become her children when you do what is good and are not frightened by anything alarming. Peter intentionally is linking Sarah and her children with the seeds of Abraham. And we know that in Abraham, the covenant with Abraham, God said to Abraham that you will be a blessing, and you'll become a blessing to all people. And we know that through that covenant comes Christ. And we see in this connection, Peter is intentionally connecting Abraham and Sarah and saying from the lineage of the both of them came Christ, and thus we are all blessed because of her. Sarah was chosen just like Abraham, and theirs is a line of promise for which Christ was born. Peter is indicating that Sarah's calling and her dignity. He's making a point of it. Christian women of the new covenant are believers doing what is right and not doing so as a way of fear because of out of reverence for Christ, for who they are and who they've been called in Christ. They have value in God. By doing so, they are very valuable in God's eyes. Husbands, in the same way, so here it is, we finally get to you. In the same way, live with your wives with the understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. I see that weaker nature, and I think about my wife when she was in the Air Force and how she had to carry the M60 machine gun, and just the thought of being weaker. With all those guys there, she would get very mad if you tried to help her. And so I know when you read that, you think, what is that? What does that mean? And we look at this passage, it says, men in the same way live, in the same way husbands live submitted also. That's what it's saying there, in lives being submitted. The Christian path of living is the same path as both husbands and wife. Both are called to be humble, compassionate in love, extending grace to one another. And wife is called to submit to the husband, and the husband is called to honor his wife. The word used here for knowing and showing, especially concentrating on the word knowing, is this translated knowing. And here in the Bible that I just read from, it says understanding, but it literally means according to knowledge. This knowledge is connected sexually, and it is also connected with one another. Knowing her. Looking deeper in this passage, I think Peter is saying here, and most commentaries would agree, it is the husband is to live with his wife knowing her needs and being concerned about her needs. He is to recognize her nature. And this gets back to where I was thinking earlier about Sharon and her nature. He's talking about them being physically weaker than him. In case you didn't know this, it goes much deeper than the plumbing. Men and women are different. In case you didn't know that, we are different. We are different physically. Men are stronger than women. In most cases, 90% of the cases, there is extremes to every side. But they are different. They are different in the way that they respond to emotions. They are different in so many ways. And the longer you're married, the more you realize how different you are. Anyone agree that men and women are different? We are different. As husbands, we are to know our wives and we are to meet their needs and to protect them from harm, because that's what he's thinking about here. And when he's saying they're physically weaker, men, especially in the time that Peter was writing this, men were to protect their homes and protect their families. And I think this verse, and I think of this verse when I think about guarding your wife and guarding your families, I think of a verse that Paul used in 1 Corinthians. It's talking about leaders in the church, but I think it applies here. And it says this: be alert, stand firm in your faith, act like men, be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. We are to be alert over our families. Men, we're to be alert over our families. That means guarding what comes into our house. Today we have to guard against things we never imagined. Before it might have been an enemy, but now it could be the internet. It could be movies or games that are inappropriate or whatever it is, or people that you allow into your house. Think about the many forms that the enemy uses to bring division and tries to separate us and distract us from what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to live godly lives in our houses. And think about the many ways that things come into our house that divide us, that separate us, that keep us from being unified. And we have to stand firm against that. We have to stand firm and protect our families. We need to stand firm in faith. We are to lead by example by living the lives of faith, showing our families, not just telling them about our faith, but standing firm in our faith when everyone else is doubtful. As men, our families are going to follow us. And we are to be men who stand for faith. Fathers, we have to stand in our faith. We need to lead by the example, trusting God. We are to act like men. I know our culture tells us not to. Men get pedicures and all kinds of things now. I read about them. I'm going to tell you right now, it's okay for men to be men. It's okay. It's all right for you to act like a man. I'm giving you permission this morning to be manly. Is that all right? I encourage you to be men. Stand strong and be courageous. Wives, support your husbands, and children, pray for and encourage your fathers. Please. It's important. When I say act like a man, I don't mean scratch yourself and jump up and down and be a fool. When I think about a man, I think about a person, a man who stands up for what he believes in, defends that cause, and takes responsibility for his actions. That's what I think being a man is. It means saying that you're wrong at times. That's what I mean by responsibility for your actions. It means standing up for your rights and what you believe in, and doing the right thing when everyone else is doing the wrong thing. Those are manly qualities to me. That's what it means, something. And also, you know, you have to be able to grill. That's another thing, right? Right, Don? Don and me are in that boat. No. Lastly, husbands, we are to honor our wives. It says that in there, to honor our wives. Because they are co-heirs of grace. The word here is honor. It's more than just honor. And it's more than just even respect. The word Peter uses here is precious. And it literally means preciousness. With this in mind, I think that the point that he is making is that we must recognize our wife's place in God. She is precious in the eyes of God. and must also be precious in our eyes. She is something that we are to honor. Peter even puts a warning at the end of this verse so that your prayers will not be hindered. And this can be seen in two ways. As Christians, we are to pray together. If our relationship is broken with our wives, praying together is also going to be hindered. Have you ever been mad at somebody? Has anybody been mad at somebody? Let me ask you a question. Is it easy to pray with that person or even for that person when you're mad at them? It's almost impossible, isn't it? And so it's important that our relationship with our wives and our husband, but it goes both ways, is right, because it is going to hinder our prayers. It's going to hinder our prayers. Especially if we harbor unforgiveness. So we have to seek forgiveness. And we need to pray. Now apply that to someone, just thinking about when you're mad to somebody. Now just think about this in a spouse setting, when it is someone very, very close to you and you're mad, who knows all your strengths and your weaknesses. Your spouse will have the greatest impact on everything or anything that you do for Christ. I guarantee you. The biggest thing that impacts my ministry here at this church, I can tell you right now, is my relationship with my wife. When it's not right, I'm not right. It's just, that's the reality of it. And I know the same goes for her. And you just think about your own relationships. When it's not right, nothing's right. If our goal is to make Christ known to the world, and how we live in front of others matters in achieving this goal, doesn't it make sense that your most important relationship with others is with your spouse? If that relationship isn't right, our relationship with God is going to be off. Let me clarify this. The most important relationship that we have is our relationship with Christ. And everything starts with this. But the second most important relationship that we have with anyone else is going to be the one closest to us. It's going to be our spouse. So we don't want to do anything that would hinder our relationship with Christ. And so we got to get this one right. Marriage is right after Christ. Christ, marriage, husband, wife. How many of us live with that in mind? How many of you really think about the most important relationship is the one with my spouse? Your marriage matters, and you need to make it a priority for the sake of God's kingdom. Think about this for a minute. Do you think it is a coincidence that one of the biggest battles being waged in America today is the battle over marriage and how it's defined? Do you think it's a coincidence? Do you think it's a coincidence that there seems to be so many things working against relationships of husbands and wives? Think about it for a minute. How many things work against relationships? Work, demands. Think about all the things, sports things that we take our kids to and participate in. And I'm not saying those things are bad, but think about how they distract the relationship that is most important. We have to actively work at protecting our marital relationships. Wives and husbands must make your spouse a priority. Spend time with them alone. It's okay. Not just in your bedroom with the kids in another part of the house. Talking about get away and be alone. Have a date night. How many of you have married, or maybe you were married at one time and wished you would have had date nights? Or if you're married now, do you have date nights? Do you make your marriage, do you just take your spouse or your, take them out and just treat them like you did when you first dated them? Get away for a weekend. John Piper says this, and I find this very interesting. The reason there's so much misery in marriage is not that husband and wife seek their own pleasure, but that they do not seek it in the pleasure of their spouse. The biblical mandate to husbands and wives is to seek your own joy in your spouse. Think about this for a minute. He is saying we are to seek our joy in our spouse. I came up with a little saying with this thought in mind, and you can write it down. I think it's pretty good. We'll see. If I make my joy the joy of seeing my spouse's joy, our marriage is going to be joyful. Let me say it one more time. If I make my joy the joy of seeing my spouse's joy, our marriage is going to be joyful. It's going to be a relationship based upon the other person and not on myself. But at the same time, my needs are going to be met and seeking others' needs. Does that make any sense at all? Not at all, really, you think about it. Because our world tells us that we are to seek our own first, right? But the Bible tells us to seek others. And it's no different in the Bible, in marriage. If I seek my joy in seeing my spouse's joy, things are going to be good in our marriage. Because if she's doing the same thing for me, don't you think our needs are going to be met? Don't you think that's going to be something special for others to see? That they're going to come to your house and see that joy and want to be a part of that? They're going to want to share that themselves? They're going to look at their husband and wife and say, why aren't you like that? Right? And you can teach them something there. We are to live life submitted to Christ for the glory of Christ. We keep that in front of us always. That is always to be in front of us. We look to build that relationship in each other for the sake of making Christ known. A life submitted to Christ is the foundation on which we build our marital relationships. Wives, submit to your husband. Husbands, honor your wives. Both are to live pure and reverent lives from the heart with a gentle and quiet spirit. We are to know each other. We are to honor each other, and we are to build and strengthen each other. Today is Father's Day, and we reflect on our own fathers, and we give thanks. It is also an opportunity for us to reflect on our Heavenly Father, who loves us and gave His Son for us. He wants and longs a deep relationship with you and wants to know you. He created marriage. He created husbands and wives. I'm thinking, what in the world was he thinking? He was created in an order of things, and he wants marriage to be filled with joy. He wants your marriage to be an example of the union between Christ and the church, one of grace, forgiveness, mercy, love, tenderness, hope, intimacy, and I could go on and on and on. Because he wants all that for us. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's where it all starts, and that's the reason why we do the things that we do. That's why we live a life submitted to the people around us. That's why in our marriages we submit to one another to bring glory to Christ. And so I pray for our fathers this morning, and I pray for our families, and I pray for those who don't know Christ. If you don't know Christ, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and we're going to stand and sing a song. And what I would ask yourself is, while we're singing this, I surrender all, have you surrendered all to Christ? Because he makes all this possible. He's the reason why we do the things that we do. And I would ask you to commit your life to him, to surrender to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage, Lord. I thank you for the example that we have in Christ, who submitted all to you for the glory of God. And that through him we have forgiveness of sin, Lord. That we exist and find our purpose in life in making you known. And Lord, I pray for our marriages. It seems like everything around us is trying to rip apart marriage between a husband and a wife. And Lord, I pray for our fathers. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them, that they would guard over their families, that they would live in such a way that brings honor and glory to you, that they would stand in their faith and they would be men, Lord, the way that you created them. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our fathers as they raise their children and model in front of them Christ-like characters, Lord, character. I just pray that you would allow them and help them do that. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here right now, Lord, that doesn't know who you are, as we sing, Lord, I pray that you would move in their hearts and they would come forward and we would pray, Lord, to come and accept you, to have them have you in their hearts. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.